I'm Tom Rowe. You're listening to Turn on the News, a daily look at radio news, radio art, media news, sound art, and more from Free 103.9, a organization that works with transmission arts and artists that use radio in their own work. You can go to FREE103POINT9.org or newsroom.free103.9.org for more information and links to international sources of radio art, radio news, media art, and media news. Today is Thursday, May 17th, and we're going to look back at the FCC's meeting about low-power FM translators on this show. We'll also tune into Pirate Shortwave from Captain Morgan. Talk a little about the Dayton Hamvention this weekend, too. And hear about Scanner's live transmission this weekend on Turn on the News. The FCC recently announced new rules for low-power FM and translator stations in the United States, capping the translators at 50 per applicant and one per market, so as the translator stations won't eat up all the spectrum available for possible low-power FM stations and communities. On Wednesday, May 16th, the FCC held an open convention meeting. And we'll hear some questions from the audience, public questions, after Joni Mitchell.
Driving into town with the dark cloud above you. Turn me on. I'm a radio. I'm a country station. I'm a little bit corny. I'm a wild flower waiting for you. Broadcasting tower waiting for you. And I'm sending you this signal here. I hope you can pick it up loud and clear. I know you don't like weak women. You get bored so quick. And you don't like strong women, cause they're hip to your tricks. It's been dirty for dirty down the line, but you know I come when you whistle and you're loving and kind. If you've got too many doubts, if there's no good reception for me, then tune me out. Cause honey, who needs the static? It hurts the head. And you wind up cracking, and the day goes dismal from Redpus Barney to the sign of prayer. What a sorry face you get to wear. I'm gonna tell you again now if you're still listening there. If you're driving into town with the dark cloud above you, dialing the number who's bound to love you. If you're lying on the beach with the transistor going, still smoking, call me at the station. The lights are open.
All right, this is Tom Rowe on Turn on the News, 3.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, and more. Today we're looking at the Federal Communications Commission's meeting in the United States on Wednesday, May 16th, where they met and talked about low-power FM and translator stations. Previously, they had announced new modified rules, basically allowing more low-power FM stations on the air and not getting them trumped by full-power stations on third adjacent frequencies and by translator stations. They're interested in establishing a new class of low-power 250-watt stations for the first time in areas outside the top 50 markets, and also eliminating the 10-watt LP10 station, which no one was applying for and is economically probably not very relevant. They did not say in the meeting when the sixth report and order would be, which would clarify the final rules that would theoretically be passed later this year when a window is expected to be open for applications for low-power stations around the country. The tool that you'll hear referred to in the recordings in a moment is a internet tool where you can go to a website, and the FCC's website, and find out if your town has a possibility of getting a low-power FM station, if it's worth your time to apply for one if there's a frequency available in your area. That's some of the jargon they'll be discussing. You can go to newsroom.free103.9.org, look for a post called FCC Announces LPFM Details for links to all sorts of explanations of what they're talking about, from Radio Inc. magazine, Engineering Radio, Radio Survivor, and more. So now let's go to a little lengthy question and answer towards the end of today's meeting at the Federal Communications Commission about low-power FM and translators and how you might apply for one in your town this fall.
Is there any way, the grid tool itself I don't think provides this ability, is there any way to determine if a translator, proposed translator site is short-spaced to any sacred LPFM grid location on any specific channel?
I think you're asking, is there any automated way to do that?
That's exactly what I'm asking.
No.
But there may be, there could be multitudinous LPFM locations, grid locations, that you have to do those manual calculations to, and you're going to tell me yes, right?
There could be. I mean, typically it comes down to the nearest point on the most relevant channel or channel. So, I mean, really, I would think in most cases you're looking at 3 points or 6 or 7 points. Because you're always concerned with the nearest sacred point for any of the relevant channels. And, you know, we certainly did not, you know, this whole process has kind of evolved. And, you know, quite frankly, the grid tool has, you know, it started having very minimal requirements imposed on it, and you know we kept kind of building on it, and so you know we have not built any automated tool to do this. I mean, I think you know we can use the grid tool in a fashion to easily assess what markets there are issues and what markets there aren't, just by taking a before and after pictures. But I know that there are folks out there that are looking to use what we've done with the grid tool and build their own tools around it to try and automate the process as much as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Peter.
Yes. All right. I knew I'd lose control of this.
Is there any way at this time to find out whether a given translator application is filed as a commercial or non-commercial outside the FCC?
Not yet. You know, obviously the individual applicants know, but the information about the 175s has not, to my knowledge, has not been released to the public.
The question was, will it be released before the CAP process? And I believe the answer to that is no, that this goes to sort of the comparative rights of all the applicants, and I don't think we would want to do something to disturb that situation. As Jim said, you know, the commission will need to give us some guidance as to whether or not amendments will be permitted. And I would anticipate that if that happens, applicants, you know, will be given one opportunity to do that.
I'm thinking just when making cap decisions, if one has a non-commercial application, if all MX applications are non-commercials, that's an entirely different situation than the situation where all of them are commercials, and it's the application is owned by a nonprofit entity.
So will that guidance be given ahead of the cap selection?
Right.
That's fair. We'll certainly try to do that. I understand your concern.
While I'm here.
Okay. Any other questions? And Peter's got.
I've got
one or two or seven more.
Not sure there's much here that we haven't covered, but let's see. Can a DU study be used to establish that one translator application is not MX to a second translator application?
You know, that's actually a good question. We haven't been down this path yet, and I think it's something that we're certainly open to consider. I'd like to hear more from folks on that, quite frankly. Because we have not been down that path yet. But I think, you know, 1204 provides this ability for translator to other station protection. So I don't know why we wouldn't allow two translators to, you know, submit such a showing to prevent mutual exclusivity. I would imagine that would be something that we would deal with at the short form settlement opportunity. So you know how to reach me if you want to.
Pitch.
Provide your input on that subject.
All right, here's a question. I guess more a request that we consider lifting the anti-collusion rule prior to the settlement window. And I think we've answered that it's, at this point, that's not what the commission has said. I'm sorry, Rob Gates is not here for this one. Is there any way to speed up license to cover applications for FM translators? I didn't know we had any problem with license to cover. But, okay, this is odd, but okay, this is sort of outside the scope. Allowing existing translator to change from translator to LPFM. I guess the answer to that is we don't have rules to do that.
Correct. Yes, and I meant to give a little plug for Rob Gates. As most of you know, Rob does Rob and Larry both do the majority of the FM translator processing, and Rob was so looking forward to this presentation. He went on a cruise with his family this week, so he gets to miss this.
Okay, I think you covered this, but just to reinforce, does the move of an existing translator into a spectrum available market for the first time into the grid require a non-preclusion study?
I assume this is talking about a licensed translator filing a mod into a spectrum available market.
Yes.
And the answer is that type of mod is currently permitted and will be processed.
Without a non-preclusion showing.
Correct.
Right. How do we know if a station has a reading for the blind subcarrier? Want me to answer that one?
Yeah, why don't you answer that one? No.
Okay, in the fifth report and order, the order part of that basically concluded that our current rule comported with what the LCRA told us to do with regard to third adjacent channel protection requirements for those stations with radio reading services. I don't know if a recon of that conclusion has been filed or not, but if not, then the current rule applies, and the current rule is based on those stations which appeared on a list that we prepared back in 2000. So that would be the universe of stations that would be entitled to third adjacent channel protection from a new low power station. But again, I just don't know whether there's a recon on that issue. Okay, if not, then I think that's a final rule. If Tom thinks it's not, but.
Okay, so any other questions from the audience before? Oh, Laura?
No, I can do this.
Jim, if the minimum number of channel floors for the market aren't met with the auction 83 translators dismissed, or I'm sorry, rather, if the minimum number isn't met when all of the translators, the pending translators, are dismissed, what do you do? How are you going to handle that?
Right. The channel, you're referring to the channel floors that were discussed in the fourth report and order. And basically, the channel floors were used to make distinctions as to how the particularly translators would be processed in those markets. While it's certainly, you know, we're hopeful that those channel floors are ultimately met, there's no requirement, there's nothing that says if we don't get this many low powers in this market, something will happen or, you know, it will turn into a pumpkin. It just, they were just floors that were used to make these distinctions as far as spectrum limited and spectrum available. And they were based on certain factors, number of non-commercials in many of these markets and other factors that influence those floors, but there's absolutely no requirement to get to that floor.
Well,
honestly, we just can't control that. We don't know in some of these markets if we'll even have any interest from low-power advocates. So, we just take the applications. We don't require that they be filed in any particular areas.
Right. I mean, it just speaks to if the dismissal of the translator applications doesn't open up the LPFM availability, then why are those translator applications being dismissed? Which then follows this question. If the channel, a channel that's reflected in the RNO, is, you know, shown as available because of the dismissal of all of the, you know, the pending apps, it couldn't be proposed at a specific translator site, then is it necessary to dismiss those applications?
That's a lot of questions.
It's a lot of questions.
Basically, okay, first things first, there will be another translator filing opportunity. So whatever folks don't get to pursue their applications now, either because of the cap or because of the non-preclusion showing, there will be another opportunity to file applications in the entire country. So this isn't the last translator opportunity. It's just we're deciding what to do with these to hopefully prevent the loss of ability to file low powers in these markets. As far as dismissing things that don't preclude low power points, I mean, the whole standard is based on dismissing only those things that do preclude them, or only those things that don't make the proper showing to show that they don't preclude them. So, you know, in theory, everybody who complies with the cap can keep all of their applications alive in all these markets. They just have to make the non-preclusion showing.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Okay.
I'm Timur. You're listening to Turn on the News, 3.9's daily look at radio news, radio art, media news, and more. That was highlights from the Federal Communications Commission's meeting Wednesday, May 16th, about low power FM and translators. Tomorrow we'll have some analysis and other reviews about what went on that meeting, as well as some more excerpts. Now we're going to Pirate Radio Shortwave over at swelling.com, swelling.com/blog, Thomas reports three recent pirate radio shortwave recordings from Northwoods Radio, from Undercover Radio, and behind us right now is Captain Morgan Shortwave. This was recorded Saturday, May 12th. Summer, you're listening to Turn on the News, and behind us is one cover version of Joy Division's Transmission. Another will be this Friday, May 18th, at the Brighton Festival, where Scanner and the Heritage Orchestra is reworking Joy Division in a program called Live Transmission. Here next is a track from Scanner. This is Treble Spin on Turn on the News.
Twice cut once.
I'm Ty Moreau. You've been listening to Turn On the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, sound art, experimental noise, and more. Tune in to FREE103POINT9.org for more information about just what transmission art is, or go to newsroom.free103.9.org for international links to radio art, radio news, media news, sound art, and more. Turn on the News is heard daily on WGXC in upstate New York and through the Pacifica Radio Network.
The preceding show was produced by Free 103.9 at the WGXC Studios in New York.